Hello and welcome. This is James.
And Ellie.
And you're listening to The Two Bleeps, a show about self-help where we discuss everything from goal setting and hypnosis
to tomatoes and hair care.
Well, here we are again, another episode of Two Bleeps. Well,
yeah, what happened last time?
I will just come right out and say it. I am incredibly disciplined at work, but not so much around home. It is progressing, but like we talked about last week, the priorities have not shifted in the way that I would like them to, mm-hmm. which is fine because they are what they need to be for the time being. So I am not displeased with my progress because there is progress. It is shaping into a workable goal. I have been addressing the control issues, and ironically led me into what we want to talk about tonight, which is really about, I don't know if you buy into the whole Mercury retrograde thing or not. I know personally, I've witnessed during a full moon, people go crazy. That's mm-hmm. objective.
I think it's quantifiable. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. So I've had experiences with Mercury retrograde where it's like, ain't no thing, and then all of a sudden I'm yelling at a piece of paper for being in the wrong place on a desk.
How dare it.
So yeah, but it was enough to make me think, maybe during these times I should at least have an awareness, a self-awareness, kind of check in and be like, hey, am I yelling at spoons? Maybe kind of do some reflection. Maybe don't do that.
Maybe check if Mercury is in retrograde, because I've noticed whenever something has just kind of spiraling out or domino affecting, you know, one thing goes wrong and then next thing you know, you're yelling at spoons and you're telling me about it. All of a sudden we're thinking of like, why is this happening? Where is this coming from internally? And then it dawns on us, it's like, oh, maybe we should check what Mercury is up to right now. And sure enough, I feel like 7 out of 8 times it's been confirmed, okay, we're in deep mm-hmm. into Mercury retrograde, this might explain something.
Well, I wish my odds were that high. Normally it's just kind of like, I'm yelling at a spoon, is it Mercury retrograde? No, most of the time.
Just me.
Most of the time. But I do
it's
check.
It's not every time, yeah, it's true. I do check. It's true. Sometimes it's just us.
Sometimes I'm just hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. You never know. Sometimes it just,
and
just hits it.
A spoon just happens to be there. How very dare it.
And it's just so convenient. Anyway, but so what I've been working on with the control issues is during these kind of emotional swells, whether it's retrograde related or not, it's kind of making me do that introspective check and just be like, should I open my mouth or should I not? Maybe revisit this conversation, thought, idea, paper, spoon at a later time. Once I've kind of gathered mm-hmm. my energy and my thoughts. but
calm down from Spoongate.
it's a real problem.
I mean, some spoons really act out. Out of line.
They do. Oh my god. I remember. This may be too Hogwarts. But the school we went to for hypnotherapy held like a special class on bending spoons.
That's
and
right.
It was a lot of fun right up until the teacher said to ask the spoon for permission to bend it or to like check with the spoon and say, well, some spoons aren't ready to be bent. Bitch, it's a spoon. You're a Wait goddamn a minute. Spoon.
You're... Bend, have you?
Of course you're not ready to be bent. You're metal. You're supposed to be a spoon. But the spoon bending is like, there is no spoon. So
there is no spoon. So...
melts into shape. Anyway. That...
Well, if there is no spoon, then how can you ask something that isn't there for permission to do something? How can it do the thing if it's not?
It's
a wash.
That's what fried my brain. It's like, no. In fifth grade, I got in trouble for using too much personification in an essay. I'm not going back. You can't catch me. It's double jeopardy. You can't convict me. So no, spoons, maybe they have souls. I don't know. Opinions on things. Sure, why not? Corporations are people. Why not spoons? But
whole nother conversation. Yeah, you got something there.
If you do the spoon bending, you bend the spoon. That's end of story. If you feel better asking for permission, great. That's your prerogative. That's great. It's hey, people talk to plants and they grow better.
True.
That's fine.
But then again, that's a life form.
How do you know? Devil's advocate here. How do you know a spoon is not alive? It's mineral. Or mineral.
I suppose it doesn't fit the criteria of it eats, shits, and reproduces.
It vibrates on a molecular level.
Sure, it's physical, not biological. Try me, James. Try me. It's not alive in that sense.
Let's play Mozart to some spoons and see what happens.
We'll see. We're going to be those people that play Mozart to spoons. That's the only thing that's going to happen.
Or play Mozart on spoons and see if they...
That is absolutely stage two of going pretty much insane.
I'm ready.
It's been a good run.
This retrograde is kicking my ass. I am ready to play Mozart on spoons and just ride into senility with my 100-year-old vocabulary. And I have a front lawn now. I have a front lawn. I can yell at people to keep off of.
See, we're moving up from yelling at spoons and paper to actual people who, I mean, may or may not deserve it. A little bit more arguable than the spoon. But on the Mercury retrograde thing, I want to add on to that a little bit because I recently really got into astrology in kind of like a getting to know myself. That was the purpose of me getting into it. So I was, pulling up my own birth chart, looking at all the placements and what they mean and how they affect each other and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I learned quite a bit about myself. And then once you kind of said that you mentioned Mercury retrograde, like this might be a thing for me now again. Mm-hmm. I wanted to look into your birth chart, and I did, and it turned out that there is a reason why you feel like it's affecting you. It very, very well might be because Mercury is retrograde right now in Gemini, which is your rising sign. So your rising sign means, how is it different from your sun sign? Your sun sign is your essence, and your rising sign is how you come off to people, what you look like, how you behave. And if there's a retrograde going on in your rising sign, of course that's going to affect you. It's the self. On top of that, right, in the chart itself, it's divided in 12 houses, and each house has a meaning. 12 of them. It's a lot of meaning. The point where they start on your chart, it is the rising sign. So because you're in Gemini, that's the beginning of your first house. So the first house is the house of the self, of the body, of the ego, anything that has to do with self. So, you know, like not relationships, not work, career, thoughts, none of that. The first house is you, yourself. So if it's retrograding right now in your first house, in your house of identity, basically, yeah, there's going to be some things. There's going to be some things going on.
Oh, really?
A little bit.
You did warn me about this going in, and it's been a couple weeks now, and yeah. I'm questioning my sense of self and identity constantly. Like, I'm super on eggshells at work so that I can stay remote and stay employed and stay, you know, keep things going.
So the self, the safety, definitely the component is there. So you'll definitely feel it. I myself, so my chart, the way it lands is that right now Mercury is going retrograde in my third house. So I kind of lucked out, hopefully. I mean, that's how I'm looking at it. The way my birth chart works is I kind of lined up with the signs in terms of houses. So for you, Gemini is the first house. But for me, my first house is Pisces and Aries. And Aries is considered to be the beginning of the zodiac, even though the birth dates are March and April. So basically the beginning of spring, the idea there is like the beginning of life, therefore the beginning of the cycle. So Aries is my first house, and then all the other houses and the signs kind of line up, meaning Aries is the natural ruler of the first house, and Taurus is the natural ruler of the second house, and Gemini is the natural ruler of the third house. So my shit lines up, basically. So if there's something in Gemini, it's really Gemini for me. If there's something in Virgo, it's really Virgo, because the sign and the house are matched up. So right now, my retrograde is going on in the third house, which is Gemini's house, which is communication. I have not been able to say the right thing this whole week. I'm saying things, especially at work. I'm new at work. I just finished my fourth week there. And first of all, everything is done remotely because of reasons. A lot of digital calls and communication and training is done online. A lot of talking, because it's training, you know, like they're presenting me information, then they're asking me, have I understood it? Then they're asking me to repeat it. So there's going to be some things that fall through the cracks. And let me tell you, if there's a crack, something's going to fall through it. Does not miss. I had this whole situation where, to make a long story short, we were on a group call with some coworkers. So there was like almost 20 of us in this call. And me being new, I was trying to, you know, get in with the flow with them and make it seem like, yeah, I totally belong. And like, I have something to contribute to this conversation, making little jokey jokes. And I said something that another coworker had told me, somebody not on this call. I thought we were going to take it as a joke. He told me a joke that I thought was funny, so I said it. I repeated it. And the mood just kind of took a dip. They're like, he said what? Oh, we're totally going... They're in a joking way, all of a sudden started saying like, oh, we're going to bring that up in his mid-year review. Joking but not joking. And I just found myself...
Record scratch.
Dying. Yes, I was like, I thought I was... So... It was just the whole week was just me saying the wrong things, or like having a breakdown in technology, or like having a breakdown in what was taught to me and what I understood. Therefore, like, I would make a mistake in the training materials or like whatever I was supposed to do. So yeah, I kind of subscribe to this whole thing about the houses and the astrology and the retrogrades and stuff, because it's a little bit on the nose to like ignore it. I haven't had issues in any other area of my life, just that.
Okay. Hold that thought. Much more to say when we return on Two Bleeps. Welcome back. Thank you for sticking with us through the break. Let's dive right back into where we were.
Just the one. Communication.
Having put my foot in my mouth during enough Mercury retrogrades, I subscribe to it too. I mean, full moons, I absolutely subscribe to, and that's just gravity. The effect of gravity, because the moon's closer or farther or whatnot. So who am I to say that the distant gravity of a spinning planet is going to affect some people or other people or some not at all?
Yeah, sometimes it's gotta have an effect.
The shoe fits, and sometimes it doesn't. Mm-hmm. But when I expect it not to at all, that's when I start yelling at spoons, and I really should just put the whole silverware drawer back in and just leave it alone.
Let it play with its friends. Don't take your wrath out on it.
I'm kidding, of course. But yeah, like, it's a thing. Like, there's a couple personality types. Some people fall into one category more than another, or not at all. But the two main communication styles in a relationship, for example, is the introvert and the extrovert. The introvert maybe likes a little bit more control over their environment. Doesn't really like to talk about things right away. Maybe when they feel hurt or misconstrued or bad in some way, they want time to kind of gather their thoughts, because emotions are scary to them because of their need for control. Anyway, this leads to a desire to leave a conversation and come back to it later, once they have a better understanding of both sides and their own emotions.
Right.
Cut over to the extrovert. They...
Completely different needs.
They think in terms of connection and loss of connection. Yeah. So the way the introvert fears the loss of control of a situation, the extrovert fears loss of connection from a situation. So as the introvert tries to withdraw, the extrovert feels personally attacked by the desire for silence from the introvert, and says, we're not leaving things like this. And they come after you for like, no, what does that mean? What does this mean? What is that? Let's resolve this immediately.
Which is the opposite of what the introvert needs, just to process everything before they have that conversation. So the introvert is taking away what the extrovert needs, mm-hmm. and the extrovert's taking away what the introvert needs. Hilarity ensues.
Yeah, that's the word. Well, because you got these two skill sets going on. And the emotional side, the introvert doesn't really fully embrace and understand. And so it's like they're sitting there with a translation guide trying to, okay, well, I think I felt that one, but it might have been this one over here. I don't know. I stuff it down and I do work and things. And And then I sit and recharge in a dark hallway and talk to my spoons. No, and then the extrovert's like, I need to connect with you because now I hurt you some way. You won't tell me how. You won't tell me why. I don't know what you're feeling. I'm not psychic, but I know you're feeling something because I don't feel connected to you now.
Right.
Connect. You're connect talking, to me.
You're talking to spoons, but not me. What is this?
And then you play Mozart for them to calm them down.
Works every time, right?
Every time. Anyway, so Mercury retrograde or not, sometimes it's important to just notice when an emotional current comes up, and if emotions are big and scary to you, like they are to me, like, because I'm also a bigger guy, and I grew up a bigger guy, so when the kids were play fighting with me, and then I was like, ow, that kind of hurt, I'll hit you that hard, that is a lot harder coming from me, so they can't take it like I, so I've always been extra careful about all my reactions, physical or otherwise. And then when I dove into this crazy world of emotions, it just changed the game for me. Now it's like, well, I don't even have my big, strong body in this world. I don't even know all these things. Like there's an IQ and an EQ. But then there's a physical Q, because I did martial arts after growing up with all these crazy thoughts and emotions. So I had a level of control in one area, but none at all, seemingly, in these stranger realms.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm being dragged into an octagon to fight in an area that I'm not trained. I haven't even gotten a white belt in an emotional connection slash debate slash whatever is happening there.
That's scary.
So if you ever chase down an introvert, that's what's happening. It's like, hey, you've heard that Mike Tyson can kill you with one punch, right? Yeah. Now go hold your heart in your hands in front of him and let him go a few rounds with you.
And hope for the best.
It's terrifying. It's terrifying. I've never tamed a lion a day of my life. Okay, here's a chair, here's a whip. Go, have fun. Click, shut, lock. What?
And turn the camera on and record. No pressure.
Exactly.
So like, when these situations come up, be they from retrograde or something else, yeah, it's especially for someone that needs control. It can be very much beneficial to just always expect the unexpected. Kind of roll with the punches a little bit or learn how to do so. Because human nature is just like that. As much as we try to predict it and quantify it and put it in manuals and step-by-step little sub-points and things to explain ourselves, I don't know about anyone else, but to me, I just keep surprising myself with something different. That's why I grasp for things like astrology and hypnosis and other alternative ways to know oneself, because I do need something to explain why I do the things I do and why are things happening to me the way that they are internally, I mean. And like the law of attraction and things like that. Just anything to explain it, right?
Right.
But as much information that we have, there's still an element of unpredictability there. And it's instead of trying to control what comes out, it tends to be easier to control the reaction.
Yes. And that's kind of what I've been doing, is like, as I work on these control issues, I need to understand right away. Well, before, I needed to understand, like, what is this? Let me catalog it and understand it. But now it's like, hey, a wave's coming at you. Dive under it. Yeah. Solve it, understand it, analyze it later. Go under it.
Survive for now.
Exactly.
So that you can figure it out later.
And what that looks like, so if you're the introvert and you have the extroverted partner, what that looks like is conversation. If you can't say anything, say that. Hey, I don't understand. I'm feeling something. It hit me kind of funny. I don't understand it. I need to separate for a minute. And let's talk in like a half hour, an hour, tomorrow. When I figure out what the fuck's going on. But
right.
You do need to communicate with your partner that you're feeling something, whether you know what it is or not. Maybe they can even help you analyze it, since that's their area of expertise.
Go figure.
Right? So
they might be able to just see something that you've never seen before and just have a little bit of a different take on it. For example, what it actually is. Inconceivable.
Inconceivable! But yeah, like, silence might be the instinct to, like, I don't know what to do, so I'm freezing. But you gotta get the lips going. You gotta get communication going. You gotta, like, hey, you know what? I'm out of my depth here. I need a cracker and a juice box, and then I'll come back and let's dive into this.
But it's the assurance there. The assurance of, can't talk because I don't have anything to say because I haven't processed this, but I want to talk about this. I'm just not ready yet because I literally don't know what all of it means to me yet. Because the other side, the extroverted side, tends to, you know, if they hear no, it's a hard no. There's no nuance or anything. No means rejection.
Mm-hmm. Silence means rejection.
Silence also means rejection. But even saying, I can't talk right now, I need time to think, that also kind of sounds like, I don't want to talk to you. Rejection. Yeah. So the assurance has to be there in terms of, this is what I'm going through, but I want to show up for this. I just want to show up correctly.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. Both sides. Everybody. Sides. All flavors of the ice cream. Treat all other flavors of the ice cream like they are exactly like them. Yeah. So if I'm an extrovert, I'm thinking you know exactly what an extrovert feels and thinks, and you think that way too. Because I don't know anything else. So I'm going to project that on you because that's all I know. And vice versa. I'm going to be silent and just expect you to understand, because obviously when you're overwhelmed with something, you need to be silent about it because you don't want to say something you'll regret.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
That's human nature, is to project out someone else's ability to understand the way you understand. And that's,
there's nothing in life that tells us otherwise.
Right.
There's nothing in life that tells you this person just thinks differently than you. It's not something we learn or we're told. We just stumble upon this information the hard way. It's very easy to think that you're looking at a mirror, and definitely that's a whole lot of breakdown in communication. I'll throw in Mercury retrograde in this mix.
Oh, what?
Ooh.
Oof.
That's a milkshake you don't want.
Mm-mm. That is not bringing the boys to the yard.
Nowhere near. I don't think they're in, like, the zip code at this point. Rough.
And that's the thing, is we're not really taught this at a young age, or even at any age. You go to courses, seminars, schools, and there are places to learn these types of things, But even in the moment, in the middle of a Mercury retrograde, you're still only able to feel your feelings and think your thoughts. And you yeah. might forget or lose track and say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing. But the main, excuse me, the main thing is to keep the conversation going. And if they take it as rejection, say, okay, I might understand how you can feel that or think that. That's not my intention. Because that's the other thing is ascribing an intention to someone's behavior is never okay. You might have a really spot-on educated guess, but it's still a guess.
Right.
And even if you're right, if they're still willing to converse with you, there's... I mean, I have to learn things about my partner and the way she communicates. And she has mm-hmm. to learn things about me. But we've had those conversations where I've laid it out where it's like, okay, when I get silent, this is what's going through my head. This is what I'm fearing, and this is what I'm avoiding. I just need to get better at saying, hey, remember that thing I told you? I'm going through that now.
It's happening.
Probably going to go through it a while because mm-hmm. the extroverts, they can flash through emotions in seconds and then forget what they were angry about before the sentence leaves their mouth. Like, they can already be over something. Whereas introverts yeah. tend to hold on and stew because they try and distance themselves from. So it's big, it's scary, and they push it away so it takes longer to process.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a break right here, and we'll get back to the action in just a moment. And we are back again. Thank you for sticking with us through the break. Let's dive right back into this. There's still so much more to talk about. I swear, Mercury goes into retrograde and we get super chatty. Okay, back to the action. Just be honest with that. Say, hey, this is going to take me a while to figure out. I'll talk as much as I can right now, and then we'll readdress later. But during the Mercury retrogrades, letting go of control, it's kind of like a quicksand thing. Like if I act emotionally or from emotion, and those reactions are from a negative space, it makes the situation worse 100% of the time. That is my absolute truth. That is mm-hmm. not guesswork. That is absolute truth. Which yeah. is why I will prefer to shut down and risk pissing someone off rather yeah. than deal with it right then and possibly ruin something forever. So
yeah, just showing up unprepared to like a presentation. How are you going to present something correctly if you don't even know what the topic is and you have zero materials to present? Mm-hmm. It's just flat out setting yourself up for failure. So I totally yeah. understand if you are the type that needs to, first of all, process things. Because like coming from emotion, things will be said, things will be done. And then you're going to spend more time cleaning that up.
Yep.
More time doing that than if you took the time to process it and then show up to this.
Because I know when I feel a very strong emotion, I can be absolutely convinced about a certain intention I've ascribed to a behavior.
Right.
I can feel so certain about that so immediately because of those yeah. negative emotions. And I'm like, you know what? I don't even understand the situation. I think it's this. And I'm 90% sure that in 10 minutes, I won't be as convinced of that. So I just need to go give myself that 10 minutes, let the situation play through, look at it from other sides, And then I'll be like, oh, that didn't mean anything near what I thought.
Alternatively, a lot can happen in those 10 minutes if you don't shut it down.
Exactly.
A lot of shit can be said. 10 minutes is a lot.
10 minutes is an eternity.
When you're saying the wrong thing.
In an angry conversation. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just the amount of damage that can be done is just exponential in those 10 minutes. So definitely the countdown, it's like, okay, take those 10 minutes, process thing, come back. But the whole Mercury retrograde thing is basically you don't have those 10 minutes, or do you? How do you see that? Is it something happens, Spoon is acting out of line, and you... Do you even have time to say, hey, I need to pause and come back to it? Or do you need to react right away? Because you were talking about the whole, like, dive under the wave first, survive it first, and then come back to it later. I mean, when Mercury retrograde throws you a situation like this, what's your preferable way to deal with it?
I notice it when the wave's already hitting me. Like, that's... Excuse me. We'll cut that out.
We'll cut that out.
part of me acknowledging the Mercury retrograde and being aware of it is my sensitivity to insult, shame, guilt, fear, anger, whatever. It goes up, but it doesn't feel like it goes up. I feel like I'm justifiably reacting to a legitimate betrayal, or you've insulted my honor, Spoon, prepare to be a card holder. But knowing that now, is it Mercury retrograde? My emotions welling up and I'm feeling this reaction. Hold on, this is a wave, do the duck dive. Just get through the wave, then we'll evaluate rate and assign a number score to this betrayal or whatever, quote unquote, whatever the Spoon said about my mama or whatever. So
nice. Yeah, so you basically have a shit list. I am probably on it in some way.
Glitter. Absolutely. That's...
Ow,
you're never leaving that list. Just like it never left my car. So the but that's me. I know to be aware of the time frame.
Yeah.
Because I am more likely to be sensitive in those conditions. And it's just kinda like, oh, I'm reacting. Okay. That's number one on my checklist. Is it Mercury retrograde? I hungry? Maybe I just need a sandwich, or
sometimes I just need a sandwich.
Or am I angry about something else entirely? Like, I'm frustrated at work and I'm filtering everything angrily because of that. Like,
yes,
but that's me. Emotions are big and scary, so I gotta keep track of what I am feeling and when the because that self. Perception, it doesn't do scope very well. Like, an instigating event can be right in front of my face or a mile away. It'll look the same size if the conditions are right. So that's job one for me, is just, am I reacting? Okay. Which of these conditions could be playing a factor into it? And about how much time should I give myself to get to the root of that and kind of reappropriately evaluate the condition.
Yeah. Sounds logical, sounds fair. Sounds like it's something that can help you get through a situation with something just sprung up on you. On the other hand though, when you were talking about all this, I was trying to remember situations where I can relate to this, and I kept thinking about how my thing is a little bit opposite, maybe because I'm kind of a recovering extrovert.
Recovering extrovert.
I'm a recovering extrovert, meaning I spent so much time in the introverted world.
I do hope we get a hate mail about that, by the way.
Welcoming it. Can't wait to read the strongly worded letters. In terms of, I was able to, like, if a situation came up, like the wave, like you were saying, a wave hit. There were times where I needed to do the duck dive, but there were other times where my best bet was to react on the moment, because sometimes my emotions led me more correctly than my thoughts afterwards. Like, I tended to overthink things later versus at the time. For example, somebody says something, isn't obviously rude, but just like a passive aggressive little comment, disrespectful, right? But just like hidden. My first reaction is to check them. To just say, what the fuck did you say to me? Like, you know, just kind of have that reaction. But internally, I'm like, no, maybe I misunderstood. Don't make a scene. Don't bring attention to yourself. You're going to come off as this and that. What are people going to think? Da, da, da. Like, so I take the time to process things, and I come out at the end either with the conclusion of, no, yeah, she was out of, or that person was out of line, should have been checked, but the moment is now past. Or I think to myself, oh no, it was my fault that I had this coming. You know what I mean? Like, oh, this happened because I said this. Kind of putting blame on myself. So sometimes for me, the taking the time to process thing has backfired. That's why I'm saying I'm a recovering extrovert, because I think I learned how to distrust my emotions, which is what guides me. I banked more on my thoughts and my reasonings later, which falsely I believe that were more objective, but I learned that thoughts can be really subjective and emotion based if you have that separation between your brain and your heart, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Meaning some people, and I'm sure you've seen this too, some people are so set on their identity as a logical person, but the things that they say are clearly based on emotion and not fact. Kind of like, yeah, ascribing intention.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That sounds like a logical thing. Well, you said A and then you did B, which equals C. But A and B are completely not fact-based. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Perception-based.
Perception-based, exactly. But to them, they're like, oh no, this is totally objective and I'm seeing things as they are, black and white. That's kind of what I was doing with the thoughts. They were still emotion-based, but it really looked to me like they were logic based.
Yeah.
So I started kind of slowly bringing it back to my emotional reactions and states. So when a wave hits, I want to know what that means to me emotionally. And I have the luxury of deciding sometimes, depends on how bad the wave is. If it's something not so, you know, emergency, urgent, crazy, dangerous, whatever, you know, not huge. If it's something a little bit more mild, something hits me and I'm like, am I gonna react emotionally to this, or should I keep my mouth shut until later? it's hit and miss.
Okay.
But it's fun. Keeps things interesting. There is value to both, you know. But the recognition that not all of my emotions are going to mislead me, that was huge for me.
Oh yeah.
At some point I started reacting to situations and people by telling my, basically it literally felt like I was saying, all right brain, buckle up, we might have to do damage control later because here it comes. And then I'll just say something or I'll do something. It's like, brain, you're working for me, I don't work for you. That was my whole switch of having introverted tendencies and reactions to bringing it back to, I guess, extroverted. If we're gonna, these are the terms we're using. So yeah,
sure,
so I'm Ellie, and I'm a recovering extrovert.
Recovering extrovert. My God, when you said, I don't even remember what you said about emotions. I just cringed. I cringed. It's like, yeah, trusting your emotions. Every time I've trusted my emotions, it's worked out bad. Bad. Like, intense emotions, visceral emotions. Those are not the emotions that I can listen to.
I gotcha.
No. No. That's a hard
pass. Interesting, Ben. I can't imagine stopping something like that from giving me the message that I need, at least. Like the whole situation at work, at first I felt horrible, right? Mm-hmm. And actually said something at the meeting. I was like, I need to get this out emotionally. These people need to know that, you know, I need to put a little like chip in the game saying, these were not my intentions, and this is actually kind of fucked up what's going on. Stop putting that guy in trouble because of something I said. So I did make a little snarky comment. They were like, oh, maybe the new people, because I'm new, and then three other people are new with me. They're like, oh, maybe the new people can say something about themselves. And I was like, I'm not going to say anything else because apparently I'm getting you all in hot water. You know, the little like, oh, jokey joke. I can do the same passive-aggressive joking as you guys do, but don't try me. I said that, and then later I was like, how am I going to fix this situation? And like, I felt terrible because I really thought that these people were going to come after the guy that I mentioned. And he's going to think that, or everyone is going to think that I'm some kind of narc from, you know, the time I started. You know, it's not like, some time has passed and later they learn to distrust me from gate. They're like, she can't be trusted, don't tell her anything. And that feels horrible because I'm the complete opposite. There have been times in my life where people tell me things with the intention of, they were banking on the fact that I'll go and tell somebody else, you know what I mean, like manipulating things that way, like, oh, I'll tell Ellie, because she'll for sure tell someone else, and then that information, and then I can do, you know, if they want to get a message to somebody else, they tell me, hoping that I'll tell them, and the manipulation continues. But I'm a fucking full stop. I'm like a grave. It's just like they tell me and I'm like, uh-huh, okay. And then like somebody else will tell me something and I'll be like, uh-huh, okay. The buck stops here.
Yeah.
And people's manipulation plans have been ruined because of that. And now I'm in a situation where all these people think that I'm some kind of like instigator, drama queen, you know, I'm going to start shit up. I'm going to stir shit too. Oh, and it just felt horrible to be misunderstood like that. And then I reacted on the moment. And then later I touched base with a couple of people saying like, hey, was that just a joke, or are they really going to come after this guy? Should I call him and apologize? They both said like, no, don't worry about it. It's just a joke for now, but like, don't call him, because that might stir the pot even more. Mm. I was like, all right, fine. So that's in that way, I did both. But like the first reaction, I can't imagine not saying anything at the time. Because yeah. I do think that helped my situation a little bit, saying like, oh, hey, I recognize what just happened with the little jokey jokes. So it's interesting. I'm almost like, I can't relate. You can't really, emotions make you cringe. Like the emotional reaction situation makes you cringe, but like the non-reaction makes me uncomfortable. If in that situation I didn't say anything, I would have been buried in worry even more than I already was. I would have been like, oh my God, I should have said something. I missed the moment. God, that's like basically the story of my life up until my 30s was that, me not saying something.
Well, that's interesting.
On the moment.
That's almost more like enforcing a boundary. Almost like a work culture boundary. Like it's like, hey, I know work culture is kind of like shy over a lot of misogyny and other issues, but it's like, hey, I'm gonna call this out and almost see who reacts to it
and how.
And yeah, how. Yeah, like that's kind of like a boundary move, not so much just like a reaction, like an emotional react. Like you didn't just you reacted emotionally, but because there was a boundary there, like, and you were just kind of like doing a boundary check. It's like, okay, who's on what side here? Like, what's the actual situation?
I did do that, and it was a little bit ego based because one of the girls in the meeting literally said, "Oh wow, you really pulled on him." And the other started joking, so the situation got out of hand, out of my control. So I was like, it stuck with me what she said, like, oh, you told on him. And nobody disagreed. So I'm like, so these people think that I tell on them. So that's why I kind of said it to be like, to kind of put her in check. So it's like, you can't just say that just because like, I'm
why
you
is,
and you're
why
not.
Is that the crime? Interesting. That
exactly.
Ooh, okay.
Exactly. And it's like you misunderstood, but you're comfortable taking the situation there right away. So your first reaction is to point the finger at me, even though you misunderstood. You didn't even ask like what the hell or like the whole situation, whatever I said, I'm telling you, Mercury retrograde was like, ooh, that's going to be misconstrued completely in every way possible.
Speaking of miscommunication, we're going to take another quick break and we'll return to the never-ending episode in just a moment. And we're back. Thanks for sticking with us. We now return to episode 478, now in progress.
So yeah, instead of dealing with the situation or making a joke about it as well, she pointed the finger at me verbally, like directly, like, oh, you told, oh my God, you told on him. I was like, it hurt my ego because I'm like, how dare you point me out wrongly and making me look bad in front of everyone. So that's why I said it was a boundary and an ego thing. Yep. But at the end of the day, it does help me because this is work. These people need to trust me and not treat me like a second-class citizen because they think that I'm some kind of tattletale. You know what I mean? Like, that's a fear I have of, like, people need to respect me for the things that I deserve and not disrespect me for things I haven't even done. Like, how do you deal with that? You know, like, I would be outnumbered. But anyways... but yeah, you're right. It was more of a boundary enforcement, but that doesn't change the fact that, I mean, there's been situations in which I'm sure you've had to step away from an emotional reaction based on a boundary and had to think about it and come back later with an answer.
I mean, depending again. Through that check, is it Mercury retrograde? Am I hungry? Am I angry? But no, that initial visceral reaction is usually like if it's a boundary thing, it's like, okay, I need to clarify what you just said because I heard this and I felt this, and to me that meant this. Now, let's compare notes. Like, what did you mean by that versus how I took it? Like, because I do try to own how I take things, but I so part of why I do the withdrawal is because I might notice an objective behavior and attribute an intention behind it, and I might be accurate, but I'll be in denial of something I did to initiate that as a response, not a kind of a quote-unquote bullshit behavior that I am reacting to. It's something that I instigated without realizing it. So that's what I've been more cognitive of, is not, is it my fault, but okay, so this is like a soundbite. Okay, this is the soundbite that I just heard. What else? And I'll kind of reach out farther to kind of like, okay, where could I have fit in that scenario? Not that the boomerang is mine, but like there's two people in every conversation. There's really three perspectives. Your mm-hmm. perspective, their perspective, and what actually happened. So yeah. there's but I'm trying to open up, be like, at least consider myself in that situation. Like,
yeah,
how could I have not brought this on myself, but like literally one of these things is not like the other. It's like, where did this come from? What did I do? Did I do something that I'm not aware of?
Right.
Because that's the first thing, is getting aware of it. And that's the thing. It's like, when I'm very sensitive to things, I might behave in a way that will encourage or discourage certain things. And then I observe that result as a new incident. And then I react to that and say,
I gotcha.
Why are you doing this to me? Or why are you not doing that to me? And that's, mm-hmm. it's like, it's not the whole picture.
Right.
Excuse me. And so this retrograde is really teaching me a lot about communicating my need for space. And sometimes saying no to certain things. Like, we all have an energy budget, especially mm-hmm. this last year going on with COVID and being stuck at home. Like, I've been more attuned to my energy budget almost since I was going through the karate ranks, when it was very important to control my energy budget, because if I went over or even near the limit, I would be energetically bankrupt for weeks mm-hmm. or months at a time. And exactly. I you can't afford to do that with your body. But when your emotions are, that's literally what's going on. My emotions, if they go bankrupt, I'm unreachable for days or weeks at a time.
Yeah.
Wow, this mic is really good at picking up things. I might have to practice with
somebody
the mute
can
button.
Probably diagnose you just based on
hungover, not COVID. No. I saw some guy on Instagram or something was walking through Costco or something, and had a sign on it, because he looked like deathly ill and he was coughing and hacking.
Aww.
And it's like, not sick, hungover. Just love that sign.
Oh man.
Anyway, so God, so much to unpack with Mercury retrograde. Emotions, introverts versus extroverts. I think we should probably wrap it up. Oh my God, we're nearing an hour here, bestie.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So
time flies when you're having fun.
It's about time to call it a day. So any final thoughts on getting through this or other retrogrades?
Yes. My final thoughts would be, like you said, right at the end there, that it's teaching you a lot about your need for blank. That's ultimately the point of retrograde, is to revisit things in our blind spot or unfinished business, because it's time to wrap that up and expand after you've healed it, figured it out, so forth. If you don't learn the lesson now, it'll come back again later. So this is all a learning thing. And in learning, there's always struggle. The struggle is important, not the suffering. If you're suffering, not so much. If you're struggling, that's normal. And take it as a way to, it's a crash course in an area that's beneficial for you to learn about and adjust accordingly. So that way you can look at the retrograde as a more positive thing, but definitely keep in mind it can be a struggle. It does help to know your birth chart and to just kind of go and see if it's going through the house that represents the things that you're struggling with during the retrograde. Just having a little bit more information and what to expect sometimes just puts you at ease.
Mm. And knowing like what like, kind yeah. of triggers to look for.
Right, and why it's happening, really. Yeah, it's like, why all of a sudden my relationship was good, and now all of a sudden there's this thing that, like, I didn't even came out of left. And you look at your chart, and it's like the seventh house of relationships. There you go. So now you have a little bit more information. You're not dealing with the unknown all the way. It's just not known how it's going to manifest for you. Another thought is buckle up, because the next retrograde is in Libra, which is your sun sign.
Oof.
So there will be a lot of like identity and how you come across, you know, revisiting of maybe if there's some lack there, it'll definitely be highlighted. And let me think. So this is like Gemini is your first Gemini plus four. So this is your fifth house. I'm just doing like a little bit of math. It might not be exactly a fifth house.
Go ahead. Turn down for what? Carry the one.
Carry the one. the fifth house does have to do with, so this is Leo's house. So yeah, like pride, confidence.
God.
Things like and you know it's in your house.
Pride and so. Confidence. The
it's in your sign. I mean,
yeah. Less popular
Pride and
sequel.
Buckle up.
Pride and Prejudice.
I think there's like a little bit of sexuality involved in there too. I would have to look up the all the points that the fifth house represents, but it's all the way in September, October. So you have some time to recuperate from this one, learn the lessons, and then, you know, start.
I already hate my birthdays, Ellie.
You
didn't need to give me
like
a whole host of other reasons to just be dripping with terrified sweat for the next, 3 months? Where are we? June? Yeah, 3 months.
3 months, yeah. Well, if it makes you feel better, the first retrograde of the year was in Aquarius, which is actually my sun sign.
Yeah.
Also, it's my 12th house, which is the house of the hidden, the subconscious, the house of undoing, the house of death and birth. Like,
bye!
I'll take communication and pride and confidence any day, babe. That shit twisted me up.
Touche.
You wait, it'll happen to you too. Soon enough.
Right.
But yeah, those are my tips for surviving it. Just look at it as a difficult time to learn something beneficial, and maybe keep in mind that it's temporary, and just pay attention to what area in your life it's affecting, and you know, react accordingly. If it's communication, like me, make sure you pick your words. If it's technology, do the, you know, save your files, do the backing up, make sure your electricity is aligned with your needs.
Yes.
Things like that. If it's happening in relationships, talk more with your partner. If it's happening at work, touch base with whoever you need to touch base with to communicate what page you're on, what page they're on.
That deserves to be reiterated. Like, I'm a big advocate for just talking to your partner in general. Like, you not just to like check in with each other, say, hey, how was your day? But like, hey, these are the things I'm struggling with this week or this month or this year, or these are my goals, these are my values. Cause people change, and people can feel like failures when they change or their partner doesn't, or vice versa. Their partner's changing and they're not. Like, if you are growing and your partner's growing, but you're growing in different directions, that doesn't have to be bad. And you don't have to feel like a bad person because you're not growing at the exact same rate. That's going to put friction on a relationship. And if you're talking and talking through it, there are still ways to find common ground and keep a relationship going, or to be in touch with each other enough to know that, hey, maybe this isn't the long term that we thought it was, and it's nobody's fault. Mm-hmm. That's the thing to remember. It's just because you guys feel so strongly in the beginning and it's like forever, forever, forever. Well, forever's a long time, guys. Let's hold off on the F word for a little bit. But don't think of it with a time limit either. It's just, there's so much I've learned about just being in the moment when you're in the moment and just enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah.
That moment, you're going to have that moment forever. It's yours. Live it. Enjoy it. Keep it. But if you're growing, grow. Don't be afraid to grow just because your partner's not growing with you. Don't be so afraid of loss that you're going to risk who you are or who they are so that one or both of you can be comfortable instead of fulfilled. And that's the thing about relationships, is to be fulfilled and to help your partner feel fulfilled as well. Don't own their fulfillment. That's too much. That's too far. But don't withhold yours because they feel fulfilled in a thing that makes you feel stagnant. Anyway, not to judge and preach at 1:15 in the morning.
Yeah, that's a whole nother conversation about relationships.
That's a whole other podcast as well.
Entirely another one, yeah.
Yeah. Like a show, like a whole separate show could be
a just whole separate, yeah, love theme. Talk the theme of this podcast entirely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because anyway. We're just so amazing at relationships. Get out of here. So, next time we meet, we're still going to be in retrograde. So it'll be nice to check in how we've absorbed today's conversation into the week and the day-to-day. How you do with self and self-identity things and spoons, and how I piss off my coworkers even more or not.
I can't wait.
I know.
It's going to be wild. And we're a whopping 3 episodes in, so I think it's appropriate to now reach out and say, if you guys have anything that you wanted to discuss or hear us discuss or chime in on, reach out, let us know. If you have something that helped someone get through a Mercury retrograde, we'll be happy to share it.
Definitely let us know.
All right. Stay sane out there. I just want to keep reiterating that. Stay sane. Stay sane.
Stay it's sane.
Crazy out there. Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other. And we'll see you guys next time. Thanks again for joining us on another episode of Two Bleeps.
Bye-bye.